The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome in, everybody. It's your Friday morning edition of a numbers game for VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and the DraftKings Network. I'm Ben Wilson, live from Las Vegas Bar, Canada, at the D downtown. We're hanging out. My producer, Kelly Bidland, sitting right next to me. And Kelly, nice little NBA night for you last night, even though you had the old whack-a-mole of trying to get in front of injury news. But hey, what to do in the association? So good night there. A big college basketball upset as Wazoo sweeps Arizona. And we've got a lot to talk about today with a whole lot of NBA. We'll get into some NFL talk as well. Our risers and fallers, our very early thoughts of that, Kelly, in 2024. And this hour, Will Hill, VSiN contributor, joins us to talk some college hoops at 10:30 Eastern. So it's funny. I was thinking of you bought off your magic position while we were on the show yesterday, but Kelly, hot on the draw there. You got right back on when Donovan Mitchell was ruled out there for Cleveland. So job well done as the Magic went outright. Is what, closing 5-point dogs
there?
Yeah,
it was like five and a half. I was able to grab a 5.5. But yeah, it was the we were sitting here doing the show yesterday, and it was okay. Mitchell always had the questionable tag. And then Banchero pops up as an illness. That's when I bought off. Didn't think he was going to play. He ends up going. And then Mitchell gets ruled out. That settles in at like 5.5. So yeah, I got back on that. And then the Warriors last night made that pretty easy against the Lakers.
They
nice
did.
Little 2-0 night out.
Nice little 2-0. It's just yet another night in the NBA. And it was a big night for the MVP candidates. It's funny, we had the whole conversation about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what has to happen for SGA, even though the stats and the team success basically right up there with what Nikola Jokic and Denver's doing. You figured, okay, there is a clear path, though, for SGA as about +210 as the second favorite in the MVP race to close that gap pretty easily and convincingly. And he did his part last night. I mean, crazy. 31 points, dishes out 8 assists, and the Thunder were the right side the whole way. They pummel the Clippers in the first game out of the break, 129-107. The issue is, Kelly, there's that guy named Nikola Jokic who is a triple-double machine, and he got to face one of the worst defenses in the NBA in Washington and was able to sleepwalk his way to a 21-19-15 game last night. So no movement at all on your odds board, but it was a really impressive showing from SGA and an OKC team who finished that pre-All-Star break, Kelly, a little bit weak. The against the spread numbers finally started to dip, but they prove they are still a force to be reckoned with in the West.
Yeah. First, I'll just bring up Jokic. All those numbers you just mentioned while going 100% from the field. Yes, the guy is a special player. There's no doubt about that. But man, that SGA little elbow jumper is one of the purest things just in sports right now. I mean, when he spots up to take that shot, it feels like it's going in 95% of the time. He just gets a little bit of separation, pulls up, it's that special player. And that was, as you said, Ben, a dominant performance against a fully healthy Clippers team that I took something away from that game last night where it was, I thought that was a big time spot for two teams that I think the market views differently with this Clippers and Thunder team. When we look at what futures odds really are, even though we're talking about very similar records, a lot more belief from the odds makers in a Clippers team, and understandably why, than there is in a Thunder team. And man, the Thunder just handled them easily last night. In that game. So, look, something to keep an eye on going forward. You and I were talking before the show. I did add a exacta bet this morning on the Celtics to beat the Thunder in the NBA Finals. I think that there is – Gil and I talked about it a lot through the NFL season with the Niners doing that, being able to – when you thought there was one team kind of in one conference, being able to pair up a few different exactas with them. And I really think that's what we're starting to do, have play out here in the NBA with the Celtics in the East. And I'm just going to look for some of these teams in the West as they maybe drift a little bit over these next couple months to add them to that portfolio along the way. So yeah. Thunder's the first bet. Got that at 40-1 and added. We'll see.
That's
see
a great number. Out. If you're just doing that's basically just a parlay of the two conference champions, Celtics +115 right now, Thunder down to 9-1. So if you parlay those together, you're getting about 20-1.
Mm-hmm.
you're getting double the price on that ticket, Kelly. So nicely done, purely from the math perspective there. With that loss, too, the Clippers, they actually slip now back behind. It's, you know, we're kind of quibbling here. It's very small movements, but Clippers go from slight favorites to win the West ahead of the Nuggets. They're now slight second choice as of today, plus 260 Nuggets up to plus 255 on that as well. They really only shift in the MVP market because the top two basically stayed the same, but Luka Doncic did have a big night as well. Can't forget about Luka.
Yeah.
Guy's still a unit, and Dallas, a lot of talk about could the Mavs make a really big surge here down the home stretch, and they got off to a great start last night. Big matchup against the Suns, two teams at full strength, and Dallas was really good, especially Doncic goes for 41. Yeah, that's right. Not quite full strength for the Suns. Doncic 41 points, 9 boards, 11 assists last night. And he's down to plus 650 here. Giannis did drift a little bit. He didn't play last night for the Bucks. He's now 10-1.
Yeah, it's interesting movement. It's going to be, we've talked a lot about it a lot over the past week and a half, but I think that look, is there a path to Luka winning this award? Yeah, it's just this, it's going to go hand in hand with how this Dallas team finishes the regular season. And it's going to mean playing well out of that play-in tournament area. And I think they got to get to about I think the 5 seed before we really start even considering Luka probably. But man, the numbers are special that he's putting up. And I do agree with what you're hearing from a lot of other people that this is the moves they made at the trade deadline were extremely impactful. The Grant Williams experiment was an absolute disaster. You're able to get him off the team. I don't know how much you watched, if anything, of that game last night, Ben, but like Daniel Gafford was just so, it was so apparent the impact he was having on that team and on that game last night. And they have this rotation of bigs that they're going to be able to utilize going forward. Derek Lively has been absolutely awesome. The rookie out of Duke. That team, it's one to look out for. This West, man, it is just crowded right now. It is crowded. And I understand why people are falling in love with Luka MVP. He's putting up these monster games. But I do think it's still going to depend on that team success that they're going to have to find here towards the end of the regular season.
It's such a fascinating rotation, too, because you watch some Mavs games and you're just like, wait, this is a team that could be a contender? Yeah. But then they, and you're like, I've always been in a, I've always liked Maxi Kleber, but it's like, man, this guy's playing a whole lot of minutes for a team that is viewed as a contender. And then you have some nights like last night, where, as you say, Kelly, it all comes together. You have the role guys who are stepping up and finding ways to contribute, and all of a sudden it feels really balanced, even though on the surface you go, okay, it's Doncic, it's Irving, who else?
Yeah.
And that's what makes them kind of this wild card, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, Tim Hardaway, right, he's up there in the sixth man of the year race right now, but you're right. I mean, when it comes to scoring, pure scoring, you're relying on a lot on those three guys. That is for sure. Going to be interesting to see how this Western Conference shakes out, because there are some good teams, and I think a couple teams that just take, if they can take that next step, and I think that is Dallas, that's Phoenix, right? Like, if they can, Phoenix can get a little defense put together, stay healthy, like, that team's as scary as anybody. And when you're just talking about Luka Doncic with the best team he's probably ever had around him. Like, that's a scary thought, I think, for anybody that's going to possibly face them in the West. A
lot of movement still to come on the Western Conference odds. We will dive into our division odds in our next segment, because there are some very tasty numbers that are still out there with 25 or so games left in the regular season. We'll talk about that next before Will Hill joins us to talk some college hoops coming up at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. News of the day, and we will have some NFL talk later on, Kelly, talking about our risers and fallers, at least our very first iteration of this for the 2024 season. First news of the contract restructuring element here comes out of Seattle, where the Seahawks, who are projected to be over the cap, just barely, it's not a huge deal, but there is a lot of reshuffling here. You have a new head coach, new OC, a lot of change there in Seattle, but at least for now, the quarterback will stay the same in Geno Smith, who converts his roster bonus of almost $10 million into a signing bonus to help create about $5 million in salary cap space in 2024. That from ESPN's Field Yates coming out yesterday. So his cap hit drops about $5 million this year, although in 2025, it will escalate on the cap hit. At least for now, though, this makes sense. Kelly, there's a lot of decisions Seattle has to make. Some high-priced guys here, including a Jamal Adams type they have to make a decision on, some other players at the back end. And it creates an interesting setup now, because you go, what Geno Smith are you getting in 2024 after he wildly overachieved based on expectations in 2022? Definitely took a step back, though, was more like a bottom half of the league quarterback in 23. And the Seahawks, with this move now, are committed to him, but it's also an interesting team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a Geno perspective, a no-brainer, right? Like, it gives you an opportunity to stick around with a team, at least for another year. of where you're going to be the starting quarterback and you have all those weapons around you on the offensive side, I think a no-brainer by him, because I don't know how many other starting jobs he'd truly be considered for at this point. And who knows? I mean, who knows if he makes it through the whole season there in Seattle with that starting kick next year. But it's a tough team, man. We often talk about it, but those quarterbacks, either you got to Hall of Famer, or the guy on the rookie deal and kind of everybody else in between, it's hard to figure out. And that's kind of where Seattle's stuck at right now.
And it's just the thing, too, where you have an aging Tyler Lockett. I mean, he's owed a lot of money. Jamal Adams can't stay on the field. 24 games missed last two seasons. He's owed a lot of money. And you go past you end the Pete Carroll regime as head coach, and somewhat surprisingly, with how there was no buzz whatsoever, he would be leaving. And now it's, all right, what are you getting out of a new head coach, first-time head coach, and Mike McDonald, who is viewed as this extremely talented and uber-elite defensive mind? You go new OC, and it's like all the question marks, Kelly. I imagine that did not end up on the list for either of us as far as risers or fallers, just because there's so many unknowns for Seattle. I mean, they are a total wild card. You could tell me pretty much any outcome would happen in 2024, and I'd say, yeah, that's plausible.
I think it's going to depend on what happens this offseason. If we see a lot of those guys leave, then I think I'm with you on that statement. Otherwise, if we see some of those guys return, I don't really know how likely Jamal Adams is. That seems like too much of a salary cap issue to get rid of him. But yeah, let's say Lockett returns. You get that same kind of core wide receivers coming back. I mean, 7 through 10 wins it feels like the spot they'll always be in kind of with that core. It's just, are they really ever going to be that much better than that? I don't really know.
Yeah, on the surface, you go, okay, new OC and Ryan Grubb, who's a super aggressive, pass-happy offensive attack, and you're going, all right, you have DK Metcalf, you have Jackson Smith and Jigba. Tyler Lockett might have another couple years left in the tank. That could be really, really good. Then you look at the offensive line that was among the league's worst last year, and you're going, well, how can you have that attack if you can't keep Geno Smith upright? And that was a big source of his regression in 2023. That's the first part of our NFL conversation today. We'll discuss a little bit later in the hour our risers and fallers for 2024. But up next, some interesting numbers that are attackable in the NBA division markets. Three different divisions we'll look at, still very much up for grabs in the NBA season as we're just getting started. Friday edition of A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you haven't already, check out VSiN.com, brand new site with a fresh look, enhanced navigation, mobile-first focused improved functionality, and expanded educational content. Right now, articles from both are two of our three NBA writers, Zach Cohen, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Kelly Bidlin. I say two of the writers because you've been busy on air, Kelly. So we've got Zico on the Eastern Conference evaluations, the All-Star break, JVT talking Western Conference evaluations, and you right now are talking divisional odds. So we've got it all covered. All hands on deck there.
That's right.
In the NBA.
We are.
Let's go.
A lot of these divisions up for grabs, man. There's
three. I mean, there's three right now where, the favorite, and it's pretty wild this late in the year, favorites anywhere from -120 to -330 or so, which, by no means are those locked up by any sense of the imagination. And we can dive into those right now. We have three division odds to talk about, starting with the first one we'll go to is in the Central, where because of the strength of schedules here, and I also think just because of the general negative narrative surrounding the Milwaukee Bucks have dropped all the way to +220 now in the Central Division. Cavaliers were a very popular, sort of respected money bet here over the previous month or so, and they were still behind in the standings. But as you look at it today, coming out of the break, and it's interesting how after last night, Cleveland had the late injuries to end up losing that game. Were originally as high as 8.5-point favorites before Donovan Mitchell misses. They had won, had been in really, really good form. They've still won 8 of 10, even including the loss last night. 2-game lead over the Bucks, who go 3-7 in Doc Rivers' first 10 games. Bucks have the third toughest strength of schedule now, Kelly, rest of the year. But I can't help but think that number just feels long on the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that I still believe has a lot of general shortcomings that will get exposed in the playoffs. But they are still really poised to find some ways to have cohesion, whether it's Damian Lillard. You don't assume he's going to shoot 30%, Kelly, from three for the rest of the season, and which he's been in that slump over the past month or so.
Yeah.
And the way that they're playing Giannis so hard every night, I feel like Milwaukee still is super live, even with the tough schedule, that at plus 220, it has gone a little bit too far the other way after there was so much pro-Cleveland sentiment in the market.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody who listens to this show, they know I'm Mr. Milwaukee. This is tough. This team is tough right now. I think it starts with the game tonight. We're going to talk about our bets later in the show, but that they're playing the Timberwolves tonight. My numbers say that is a bet all day on the Minnesota Timberwolves at that current number, 3.5, 4 of what you got out there. And I just can't bring myself to make the bet, Ben, because, you know, I do believe that Milwaukee's going to turn this around at some point, and coming straight out of the All-Star break is probably a really, really good time to get this going. But it's going one of two ways with them, right? Like, it is going to go in. It's going to go into the tank real, real quick, real bad, real ugly with this team. If this stuff continues with Doc, he needs to keep his mouth shut. If Dame keeps shooting as poorly as he has, that is one of the most, of everything that people have talked about with the Bucks, the Damian Lillard laying a complete egg factor seems to be just getting glossed over. And it, like you said, his past couple months have been absolutely terrible. Looking at what he's doing shooting numbers wise, and the guys that are comparable to him or guys that are shooting better than him this year, it's pretty incredible. I think with this, though, you do have, for this Central Division race, like, I'm with you where I would probably be leaning towards the Bucks at this number. You're basically at a market high with the Cavaliers right now, right? That was part of the reason why I bet against them last night. Just the spreads that you're going to be seeing with the Cavs right now, I think we've gotten to the point where they're probably a little bit too high for what this team actually is and what numbers they're laying and stuff. They've played incredible basketball these past couple months. There's no, I'm not trying to take anything away from them. I think they just kind of hit the ceiling of where they're at playing wise. Whereas the Bucks, well, I don't think we've seen that yet. I don't even think we've seen nearly the best version of this team yet. So, it's a gamble. I mean, you've got this small runway left. The Cavs do have the tiebreaker over the Bucks. If that does need to come into play, but yeah, if I had to bet it one way, it would be the Milwaukee Bucks, that's for sure.
Do you dare wait here with Cleveland, the 4-point favorites tonight against the Embiid less 76ers? It is the second half of a back-to-back, but you expect to get some pieces back for Cleveland tonight. And then Milwaukee does have a really tough first assignment out of the break, 4-point dogs at Minnesota. If you wanted to really play it that way, Kelly, and you kind of gamble a little bit, you could even get a plus 250 if, you know, Bucks dropped to three games back after tonight, maybe even longer.
It's a good point, because as much as I still think this team is live, like, for me to start betting on it, I'm going to have to see it a little bit here first. I think I would rather bet, this might be a bet I end up adding at some point, but it's probably going to be at a worse number when I actually see Milwaukee starting to put some of this stuff together finally on both sides of the ball.
Will the Doc Rivers experiment, will it finally come to fruition, at least in a positive way for Milwaukee after that 3-7 start? Other division of the three here that is really fascinating to me, Kelly, we have basically a coin flip toss-up right now going on with the Magic and the Heat at the moment. We have Miami at minus 120, Magic minus 105 right now as we sit. What's fascinating about this is these are two teams with the three easiest strength of schedules rest of the year. We both gave out in-season win totals yesterday. I gave out Miami over 45.5 in season. Kelly, you gave over Magic 45.5.
That's right.
So this feels like a number that's very, very accurate right now. We both like where each of these teams are at, and considering the schedules they get to face, and it was a huge boon, too, for the Magic getting that upset win last night over Cleveland at one point, again, was as high as 8.5-point dogs in that game. So for me, this feels really fair on a number. The actual standings right now as we sit, the Heat at the moment here are technically behind a half game after that Magic win last night. So feels fair to me, any angle you look at on that division side.
Yeah, this is the one I'd be closest to betting it. I'm going to actually be shopping around this afternoon. It would be on the Orlando Magic side. That is, it's a bet I regret I didn't make at the start of the season. I thought Atlanta was going to be way more live in this division than they ended up being. It's a bet I regret not making at the beginning of the season. I think at this price point, it's probably a bet. Shop around. Like, I was looking even this morning. There are plus, like, I saw a plus 120 out there on Orlando. I think that's probably a bet. They're a half game up on the Heat. They have the easiest schedule remaining. You're talking about two teams that, Orlando, they hit a bit of a skid when they had some injuries. Franz Wagner out of the lineup. He's back in. They're playing much better ball recently. And this Miami Heat team just continues to struggle. throughout the course of the regular season. And could that change when they get to the playoffs again? Well, we saw it a year ago that it absolutely did. So wouldn't be shocked. But they, you know, how the rest of this regular season plays out, you're going to have those, both of those teams fighting to try to avoid the play-in tournament. Should be really competitive. But I think if you're giving me the Magic, and you can get plus money out there. If I can get plus money on the Magic, yeah, I think I'm going to end up being a small bet for me.
And it's funny, too, what the odds tell you. I mean, these are two teams that are 7th and 8th right now in the East, would both be in the play-in tournament, yet Philadelphia with the Embiid injury, they're minus 285 to participate in the play-in tournament. Yeah. So the view is Philadelphia, I was only got a couple-game cushion right now on both those teams, is very, very likely to slip down there. And then it becomes, you know, you're kind of quibbling with numbers here, Kelly. Do you rather play, if you like the Magic, do you go Heat plus 155 to participate in the play-in tournament? Or do you take that minus 105 or if you can find like an even money plus 105 number on the Magic? Is the 50 cents worth it to you? For context, your Indiana's minus 110 to be in the play-in tournament. They're just ahead of the Heat right now in the standings, and that's kind of viewed to be the coin toss team who's had a whole lot of variance this year with the way they play.
Yeah, I think that the... It all depends on the number. It's a good point. You could easily play both of those. I'm not too worried about the Miami Heat, you know, like slipping out of the play-in tournament.
Right.
But, there is a possibility of that stuff going on still. So, yeah, I think that is... I think I'd probably, if you were just that confident in the Magic, like I am heads up against the Heat, you look at it a lot like golf betting. I'd rather just play the heads up matchup with,
you're taking out some other variables.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. One other division to get into, and what a performance it was for the Dallas Mavericks last night, who, as we update the standings here coming into today now, with that win, Mavs, a game back in New Orleans. Mavs have won 7 straight. Pelicans winning 4 going into the break. And Dallas plus 150 right now down the stretch. You look at the remaining strength of schedules. Dallas with one of the 10 easiest schedules for the rest of the way. Pelicans one of the 10 toughest. They are 10th officially on that strength of schedule. And it kind of goes into, A, how much do you believe in this Magic, this Mavericks cohesion continuing? And B, how much do you really value that strength of schedule as well? It certainly gives an edge there to Dallas down the home stretch.
Yeah, this one would be stay away from me just because I don't really know how much I trust either the Pelicans or the Mavericks. Also, I'm a big Zion guy. I like this Pelicans team. When they are clicking, I think they are a very, very dangerous team. We've just seen so much inconsistency with both of these teams throughout the course of the season. I know there's a lot. There's a couple sharp guys I respect that have been betting this Mavericks division price, right around here. And over the past couple weeks, they've been betting it ever since the trade deadline. I get it. I understand. I'm just not fully there on Dallas yet when I know what the potential is of New Orleans and what they can do. So I get it. I understand why some people are betting the Mavericks. For me, though, this one's a pass.
There are going to be some amazing series prices in the West.
Really is,
I mean, yeah. Matt, if we get, say, like Timberwolves, Warriors round one, Thunder Suns round one.
Oh, yeah. You got Clippers
Suns, Mavericks round one.
Yeah. Thunder Suns round one at like a minus 110 each side.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be the series price.
Yeah,
exactly. For a 2-7.
What would the Clippers and Mavs price be right now?
Clippers minus 250.
I feel like I could see a lot of people wanting to bet Dallas. I could also see people laying the series spread with the Clippers.
Yeah.
I could see that both ways. Nuggets Pelicans would be your 4-5 if the season ended today. But we figure all that is subject to change over the final couple months here of this regular season. We've got Will Hill coming up next, VSiN analyst, who's got a potpourri of selections for us across a multitude of sports.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSIN.com/pro. Tough night for me last night, Kelly. The Bearcats with a K got me.
Nah.
Anytime you bet against the Bearcats with a K west of the Mississippi and a day ending in Y, you're asking for trouble. So New Mexico State laying an egg last night as a home dog.
Told you to throw out the record books when those two teams meet.
Yeah, you got to throw out the, that was part of the handicap, throwing out the old record books. Let's welcome in our guy, Will Hill. Speaking of college basketball, he's got thank you, Will, for giving me an excuse to use the word potpourri on the show today, because that's really what you have as far as the plays today. Will, from the Bear Bets podcast, VSiN contributor, recently survived his first year on the Megapod with Gil Alexander. Great to see you again, pal.
Ben, what's going on? Yeah, it's been a while. I was trying to think of the last time I was on with you. I think it was during the summer. We were sweating preseason teasers, trying to middle preseason teasers. So, yeah, it's been a minute. What's going on?
Those 10-point preseason teasers, Kelly, with the totals at like 32.
So great. I'm not missing it yet, but, oh, man, given about 4 months, I think we'll all be craving that time to roll around again.
100% out of that. Well, for now, at least we get to focus, at least, you know, you and I will. We're doing a lot of college basketball right now as we kind of go here down the home stretch. Just as far as last night, we didn't really touch on it early here in the show, but Arizona loses again to Wazoo. That is, the Cougars sweep the Arizona Wildcats in that series. Wazoo was a 13.5-point dog last night. Where are you at right now on an Arizona team that was viewed to be a legit contender, but that has stubbed their toe a few times now in Pac-12 play?
Yeah, strange team. They've had, like you said, a bunch of these performances. Like, look, Washington State, this wasn't the worst performance. You lose by 3 to a solid Washington State team. It's not the worst of their performances. I mean, at Stanford, some of their other games where they just no show. I don't know, because I was ready to buy in. I was ready to say, hey, they have the rebounding, the size, the athleticism to hang with any of these teams and maybe win it. I think maybe they've gotten a bad rap in March where, all right, last year versus Princeton was bad, but I think a couple years ago there were some other things going on, you know, whispers of them having COVID, that game against Houston where they didn't play well. I'm ready to buy back in, and then they have a performance like that where, boy, if you moneyline Washington State both halves, you had a nice night. Not only did they win the game, but they win the first half, win the second half, and win the game. Not ready to count them out. Again, that's not, they're a little like Kentucky where there's so much talent, but you wouldn't be surprised if they're standing there in the national championship game that Monday night. You wouldn't be surprised if they lose in the first round. There's just a myriad of results where nothing they can do can surprise you because their highs are so high and their lows are so low.
And how many teams can you say that about in 2024? There's a whole swath right now. Arizona dropping to 12-1 now on the futures board. Still tied for fourth betting favorite with Tennessee, at least on the board right now. We'll go into the card for tonight as well as tomorrow. Line's not out yet, Will, for tomorrow, but I have to think, you have this UConn spot. They're hosting Villanova. The KenPom number's 10, but are you imagining this thing opens a little bit higher than that, given the situational angle here for UConn, having just been blasted on the road at Creighton, first loss in 2024 midweek?
I'm hoping it's either a dozen or less. I don't think it'll be 10. I think they're going to build in some bounce back for UConn, the motivation there. I think that will be built in. UConn's become a public team. They're coming off a loss. So I don't know, 11 and a half, maybe get to a dozen. I hope it's not more than that. I'm going to be looking at UConn. UConn's going to roll. I think they've been a machine at home, like it's coming off of a loss where, I mean, I'm somewhere between, hey, that's a forgivable loss, and maybe we were crowning them a little too early. I mean, both can be true. They could still be the best team, and maybe we were crowning them a little too early. But I think this is a good matchup for them. Villanova can't shoot. UConn's got a size advantage. UConn's going to get every rebound. Again, they've killed people at home. I think UConn gets a big lead, runs out, and wins this game by, you know, 15, 20 points. I don't like laying numbers like this, but I'll do it here. I think UConn rolls.
As UConn right now, still 24-3, 14-2 in Big East play, despite that loss midweek at Creighton. As Will Hill joins us right now on a numbers game, talking a little bit of everything. We start here on the college basketball front, and we go to the Ivy League tonight because you've got plays, Will. Yale, Cornell, tight line there as we go to Ithaca. What do you like in the Ivy?
Yeah, this is the game of the night. I don't know why they do this in college basketball where you have like a dozen games on a Friday night, then like 200 games on a Saturday. I'm trying to think in past years if it's been this lopsided in terms of the games. I feel like they could do a better job where you just have these empty Friday night slates. So again, this is the game of the night. This is for first place in the Ivy. I'm just going to go with Cornell, the home team here on the money line. You get minus 130, minus 135. Of course, shop around. I don't want to mess around with the two. I wouldn't be surprised if this closes 2.5. I don't know that we'll get to a 3. To me, these teams are just dead even, and I'll take the home court here. These are two good teams. These are two, whoever wins this Ivy, and obviously it's a one bid league, but whoever wins and comes out of this tournament in a few weeks is going to be very dangerous in the tournament. Both these teams are very well coached. Both these teams can give you fits in the tournament. So winning a game, maybe winning two games, is not impossible. Look, we saw Princeton do it last year. Being the one seed, not a huge advantage in the Ivy because it's a four-team tournament. You're not playing for home court. You're not playing for buys. It's 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. You know, you do avoid Princeton in the first round if you're the one seed, and Princeton's a good team. There's a little bit of a drop-off there. I think Harvard's in fourth place. So there is an advantage to being one. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world if you finish two because, again, these teams are probably going to meet in the title game regardless. But I think Cornell at home gets it done. I just think these are even teams. The bigger the game, the more you know, advantageous home court is. And I just think home court will rule here. I think Cornell wins a tight game.
It's pronounced Colonel, by the way, Will, highest rank in the military, all right, in case you weren't aware on that. Three Ivy League
highest
teams.
Highest rank in the Ivy.
There you go. In the Ivy. Three teams in the top 100, though. I mean, the Ivy's been amazing. Princeton makes the Sweet 16 run last year and goes deep in the big dance. And now you got three teams, top 100 in overall efficiency ratings there.
Did Princeton make the Sweet 16? I know they beat Arizona in the first round. Who did they beat in the second round?
I would know because they beat my alma mater with the Missouri Tigers. Beat them convincingly in round two, which was like the quintessential Mizzou result ever.
Kelly told me to do it. Kelly told me to do that.
Also, I want to go back to the Friday night scheduling thing. Yeah. Isn't it always? It's always Ivy League. That I just had to look it up, but I'm pretty sure Manhattan has played on every single Friday night during college basketball seasons for like the past 17 years.
When I actually was joking about this, Will, off air with Kelly yesterday. When I was not invited to high school parties, I would sit in with my dad and we'd watch Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference games on ESPNU. It was awesome. Great Friday night tradition. Didn't get any trouble.
You get a little older, that's a nice little date night. You sit around, you know, have a nice meal, and you watch the Jaspers go at it.
Tonight we get Fairfield and Quinnipiac, which is a great one. Quinnipiac favored by three there. Will, let's transition a little bit. We've got baseball now. Spring training games started yesterday. We've got a first full weekend here of spring training action on the card here. And you are looking at the New York Mets as we have win totals now out. Those numbers have started to move here with all the different moving parts with the offseason acquisitions. Where do you stand here on the Metropolitans heading into 2024?
I like the Mets under. I think it's moved at most books from 82.5 to 80.5. So we'll just call it 80.5. It's interesting, though. These books have so much to do with college basketball, NBA, player props, NFL draft, NFL. When you get a news like, hey, Senga, who's the Mets' only good pitcher, is hurt and it might be serious. Who knows? He's not going to be ready for opening day. Who knows when he'll be back? The books are not always quick to move. That's worth a few wins, especially when he's your only good pitcher. So keep that in mind when you see this news. Sometimes it's actionable. Sometimes the books are slow to the punch. So it's so important to just be nimble with this stuff and react accordingly. Again, a lot of people don't want to tie up their money. We're sitting here in the middle of February. Even if you win, it's not going to get paid out until October. But I like the under here. I like their everyday team with Nimmo, Alonso, Lindor. Alvarez is going to be a big time player. They just have no pitching, and that's a bad division to have no pitching in. I mean, the Joey Lucchesis of the world, Adrian Hauser, maybe get something out of Severino. Good luck with that. Tyler McGill. I mean, there's Quintana. That's not good pitching, and you have 28 games against the Braves and the Phillies. Even the Marlins made the playoffs last year. That's not a bad team. Even a team like Washington gave the Mets fits last year. They're kind of building in the right direction, probably a year or two away from competing for a playoff spot. But with all the pieces they got for Soto and for Scherzer, high draft picks, Washington is going to be improving, I think, at some point. So I just think it's a long year for the Mets. I just don't think they have enough pitching.
And Quintana, the only pitcher in that, as of now, projected opening day rotation with a sub-4 ERA from last year. That kind of paints the picture of where the Mets are at. Speaking of other big market teams here, Will, in another sport, we'll get one more in here for you. Lakers, eighth toughest schedule rest of the season. They lose last night with no LeBron at Golden State. What are you and how are you attacking these Lakers in-season betting markets?
Yeah, we're up to -165 at DraftKings to miss the playoffs. Good, give DraftKings credit because it's a two-way market. Some of these other books, you look around, it's just a one-way market. You can only bet yes playoffs. I think they're going to miss. I mean, they're headed for a 10 seed. They're in the 9 now. They're only a half game against Golden State, but the Lakers' schedule is so much tougher than the Warriors. Warriors have an easy schedule. Lakers have one of the tougher schedules. And look, you've had perfect health pretty much from LeBron and Davis, and you're still only a couple games over 500. I think the play-in sort of gets lumped together like it's one big thing. There's a big difference between 7, 8, 9, 10. Lakers are looking at a 10 seed. And if you're a 10 seed, that means a road game at Golden State. And if you win that, a road game at probably like Phoenix, something like that. That's a two-team parlay that's going to be really tough for them to hit. Who knows if LeBron and Davis are even healthy by then. I think -165 is a good deal here, a good price. Lakers -165 to miss the playoffs.
And I see Kelly nodding his head in approval of that bet. So
it's not a bet I'm running to make, but it makes a lot of sense. I understand why some people feel that way. And this, the biggest thing against the Lakers is exactly what Will said. They've been healthy. The two stars have been healthy basically the entirety of the season, and this is not any better than what we're looking at here.
Absolutely. At Not The Will Hill, where you can find Will Hill's outstanding work. When am I getting that pod invite, Will? I hear your new podcast is rising up the charts.
Yes, I got to keep you in mind. I got to have you on. I had Ian Eagle on today, but Ben Wilson coming soon.
Ian Eagle, it's a bit of like a slight drop off in that potential guest quality. Well, thanks as always, man. Great to see you.
All right, see you guys. Thanks for having me.
We will talk our NFL risers and fallers early thoughts on 2024 when we come back.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Big thanks to Will Hill for joining us last night. Check out his new podcast, the Should Have Bet More podcast. He's also on Chris Felica's Bear Bets podcast as well. And we'll have more guests still to come here, kicking off our next hour with Paul Carr to break down this weekend. Big weekend in the Premier League side of things. A whole lot of midweek soccer action across the pond. We'll also get some early MLB talk with Paul Spohr of Fangraphs at 11:30 Eastern. So a lot of good stuff still to come, Kelly. Thanks for, I should have been smarter to know that Will would not forget that Princeton beat my alma mater in the tournament last year, but that was very savvy.
But you set that up nicely.
Know my mind's not like fully there this early, so you're like, oh, you're just totally going to get past him. And it did. Well, job well done. 100%, Kelly. Nice work. He got there.
Got home.
It did get home. We will transition here a little bit. We talked NFL earlier in the day. There was the first restructuring we talked about on the quarterback side, Geno Smith. And you think about the news here coming out as we get ready for this whole offseason segment as well. Sounds like there's going to be another one as well. And we're expecting to hear more and more of these, Kelly, as we approach the whole draft cycle, free agency cycle. But now out of New Orleans, where that is the worst cap situation by far. And it sounds like news today that it will be Derek Carr who is getting a restructuring as well.
Yep. So, if Saints fans out there, congratulations. You get another year of Derek Carr is what it sounds like.
Big congrats.
Big congrats.
They're throwing parades on Bourbon Street.
Man, that was a team that, thank God you play in the NFC South, because that record looks a whole lot better than how bad that team actually was. And they were a team I didn't think was going to be very good. I thought one of those other teams was live to win the NFC South this past year. But, man, they were even worse than what I thought they were going to be.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
And that's back-to-back years with a head coach in Dennis Allen who is a massive liability. And if they bring him back again, they basically had Pete Carmichael as the fall guy, the longtime OC, back to the Sean Payton days and get rid of him. But what do you expect now going forward? Worst cap situation in the league, even with this restructuring. That will only be one very small piece there for New Orleans. A team I kind of wanted to consider. We're doing our risers and fallers right now, Kelly. I just couldn't get there with the cap situation, with Allen being back for another year, with Carr's deal and the fact that he is locked in as quarterback there for the Saints. So I ultimately stayed away there from the New Orleans Saints. I just couldn't get there, as much as defensively that's a team that should be good, but I have a lot of question marks there. So I don't know how you attack this just from a general perspective, and I should say we reserve the right to change our minds on this approximately 289 times between now and week one 2024.
I changed my mind after I saw one of the ones you submitted.
Oh really?
Yeah. Okay. You swayed me on one. But we'll get into these. We laid this out in loose terminology, top risers and fallers, biggest difference in wins from a season ago, right? Sure. So that's kind of how we attacked it, but with a little bit of nuance in there.
Absolutely. I tried to go maybe off the beaten path and take the non-obvious teams who are, you look at on paper and you go, okay, they are sure to be better teams. Arizona is a team that I'm really high on now coming into the offseason, and so much of this will depend on what do the Cardinals actually elect to do. How aggressive are they with a whole lot of cap space, with two first-round draft picks, and now a healthy quarterback in Kyler Murray coming off injury? Almost $45 million in cap space.
Yeah.
And it's a team that, at least in my power ratings, finished, I had them 27th, and that might have even been a little bit conservative for a team that started dead last and by a huge margin in the league. It also was apparent from the head coaching angle with Jonathan Gannon, his impact and his loss from leaving Philadelphia was really felt hard by the Eagles. And it was obvious in retrospect just how much he meant to that team. I love the fire that he coached with, the way the Cardinals were in so many games, the 4-13 record, not really indicative of what they could be. If they're able to, they use the draft and they're able to use all that cap money available to them to shore up the defensive end where they were bottom five across the board, and that offense by the end of the year with Kyler Murray in their final five games, they were a top 12 offense and had all sorts of explosive plays up and down the field. They just couldn't get stops in the crucial stretches. If they're able to do that, Kelly, that's a team that very easily within an NFC West that's kind of in some flux right now. We don't know what to expect with Seattle. Rams are sort of a wild card as well next year. That could easily be a team that wins 7-8 games.
Yeah, I like it. That was the one that I saw when you sent in and just kind of smacked my forehead. Like, why didn't I think about this one? Because I'm with you. I think what we've seen the past couple years is, and I feel like this doesn't get brought up enough, but I obviously Kyler Murray on off the field, that's a big deal. It is. We might still be trying to figure out how good Kyler Murray can be and how good will he be, and maybe we've figured out, you know, roughly where a ceiling's at for him, but still, he's been much better than the other quarterbacks Arizona's had to lean on when he's missed time over the past couple of years. It's really not even comparable. And like the one I always keep going back to, it's just, we've gotten to this point with running backs where we talk about them and how, okay, it's not worth using draft picks on them. It's not worth paying them. And I think that translates to some people's minds of them not being like really worth anything on the field. And I feel like James Conner on off splits matter about as much as any running back in the NFL. When he's in there and healthy, they look like a completely different offense. So you're going to have that back. Okay, Hollywood Brown's gone, right? But you're likely, I think they're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. So you're going to get one of the prized wide receivers to come out in the draft in a long time heading there, I think, next year. And like you said, you got all this cap space to build around. I'm with you, man. I think this is from a team that we're looked at a year ago with four wins. I don't think we should be surprised if we're talking 7-8 wins, something like that, next year.
Everybody bet under on Arizona last year. Win total's not out yet, but that's a number that bears monitoring once those numbers are officially released. Vikings is the other riser for me. It's very much correlated, though, to does Kirk Cousins come back there? And we talked about this the other day, Kelly, minus 200 for the Vikings to be the next team he is with. Yeah. You know, how healthy is he? I also at least believe from Brian Flores' perspective, second year as a DC, that unit is going to take a big leap forward. He already took a dumpster fire group with the youngest cornerbacks in the league to basically middle of the pack last year. So I certainly believe, as much as people want to poo-poo Minnesota and the future with Cousins, if he's back, future is bright there. That's really what went into my thought on the risers. Where were you at as far as teams you expect to take a leap forward as we start on the positives here in 2024?
So again, Cardinals I would add on my list. I went 3 each over here, but I did, yes, I took the easy way out with the Chargers. I do think that Chargers team is I'm not going to sit here and say that, hey, they're going to make a playoffs or make a long run in the playoffs, but I do expect that team to be significantly better from where they actually ended up in the standings and where they will be at next year. I think that's a team that you're going to see at least in the middle of the pack. And Bengals, look, Joe Burrow going to be back. You're likely going to have T. Higgins get franchise tagged and be back there. They're going to have a lot of weapons with a healthy Joe Burrow. I think for a Bengals team that even, you know, did fairly well down the stretch last year to even kind of keep themselves in that playoff conversation, you know, finishing at 9-8. I think realistically, this is a team we could talk about making that leap up to 11, 12, 13 wins in the AFC, which I know is very tough. And then last one I put there is Falcons, but that, you know, very speculative of me. I think that's where Justin Fields is going to land. Yeah. I love what they have going on the offensive side of the ball with the weapons right now. And that NFC South is still going to be bad. It's still going to be a really bad division. And I think that Falcons team from, putting on a great defensive, putting out a great defense last year, you finish at 7-10. I don't think it's crazy if the rest of the NFC South is really bad for them to pick up a few more wins off of what they finished at last year.
So Chargers, Bengals, Falcons for Kelly on the risers. I'm going with the Vikings as well as the Cardinals for mine. As far as fallers, we do agree on one, and it's the Cleveland Browns. Yep. I just can't get past the fact that since Deshaun Watson came to Cleveland, his statistical profile advanced metrically is basically on par with Desmond Ridder. Not a quarterback you want to be on par with, who was one of the worst guys in the league last year. And the defense definitely overachieved. They were bottom 10 on the road down the stretch, padded their numbers with some weak competition coming into the dog pound there last year. Teams 20 million over the cap, no first round pick. You figure the Bengals will be better with a healthy Burrow. I see tough days ahead, Kelly, and maybe this is going to be a pick that a lot of people have based on how you and I think about it.
Yeah, it's not as much about Deshaun Watson. I'm still not completely ruling out finding some success in Cleveland. It's a little bit about the defense for me that you just brought up, and it's a lot about the division, right? I mean, I brought up the Falcons in the NFC South. This AFC North is brutally tough. And if I think Cincinnati's really going to take a big step forward next year, I really don't think Baltimore is going away. So you're talking about two extremely tough teams in that division already.
I also had the Dolphins as a faller, and it's simple. You lose one of the best DCs in the league in Vic Fangio. Let him go to Philadelphia. Guy who turned a bottom eight defense into a legit top 15 unit last year, and a team that was kind of a paper tiger in general, finished 1-6 against above 500 teams. That's just a classic, you know, regression to the mean type candidate for me, Kelly.
Feels very much like we're talking about the Dolphins next year as like, okay, Mike McDaniel is the genius we thought he is, and this is one of the best teams in the AFC, and that's where they're going to remain, or they regress, like, all around from last year and fall back to the kind of middle of the pack. Yeah, real quick, just mine that I did have down there. Browns, we shared. Steelers, you know, everybody, me with the Steelers. I just don't think they're going to well for another wins. Year. Okay, back at it, Ben. I don't think it's happening again. And then the Bucks. Bucks are a team I was a little bit higher on going into the season last year. I think that's going to be a tough one for them to repeat what they did a year ago. And some of those pieces that were been hanging around from the Super Bowl wins going to start to disappear. This team's going to change and look a little bit different.
It is a team. You were one of the only people I knew who were on the Bucks preseason last year, but now you're flipping. And again, we will reserve the right to change our opinions on these as well. That does it for hour one of a numbers game here on VSiN. Up next on the DraftKings Network, it's the Dan Le Batard Show on VSiN. Paul Carr joins us to talk Premier League next.